Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Hey guys.
What's up?
This is a little bonus episode because the second that we ended, I realized that there were
more questions.
Yeah, that I totally didn't see come in and I should have checked, but I realized that we had already run over.
Like by 30 minutes.
Per usual.
You're
and maybe
welcome.
If we hadn't, I don't know, ranted
the first 30 minutes.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It had to be done.
It did.
Plus, Sierra and I realized there was a couple other things that we wanted to share. I don't share very much about my mental health. And like, I know, I being Jerry.
Yes.
Sometimes I know that people can't tell us apart.
Sierra's a very open book. Sometimes too open.
That bitch open. And I feel like we had mentioned, if you didn't listen to our other one, that
yeah, also
I
also how
have,
rude, dicks. Just kidding.
I have a pretty good handle on like what's happening and why it's happening. Mm-hmm. But it can get to a point where I lose grasp.
Yeah.
And there was a night last week when I had a full blown anxiety attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before the election, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I don't know if it was on the weekend. I don't even remember what
I think it was
it.
Because it was before I voted, and I voted like on election day.
Yeah, I know that, although that's what I was thinking, because I know Shane voted on election day, and it wasn't. You know what? It might have been over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you when it was, actually. None of you care.
But just for us.
Yeah, just for me, because I'm kind of trying to remember what
specifics and like maybe what set it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had absolutely lost it to the point where like it was October 29th. That was when it was. So it was like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying
mm-hmm.
a lot. I was slamming doors. I was yelling at Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying these things, I have no idea what caused this.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens with anxiety sometimes.
I have no idea right now in this moment what made this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Oh, I think real quick. Sorry. I want to say this just quickly. I think that's important for people to know that sometimes, especially with mental illnesses like depression, anxiety, there is no cause.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes with my depression, it's really hard for me to be like, everything is going so well in my life. Like I just got a new job or I just got a new job or we just bought a house or I'm getting married. That was never been me, but you know what I mean? Things are going so well in my relationship. My kid is doing great and he loves me and whatever. And I'm still feeling like I am so down all the time. Why? And that used to make it worse until I realized that literally it's just like serotonin in my brain is not being produced at the right amount.
Right.
Like it's not my fault. It's just my brain is malfunctioning at that moment. And
that can make me feel almost more guilty because I'm listing all of the things I should be happy about.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's
not.
What it
and
used
so I'm
to
like,
do. Yes.
Great.
That's why I wanted to
so
say that.
So on top of being sad, I'm also ungrateful.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, that's why I wanted to say that because my therapist used to be like, Sierra, you have to stop doing that. You're making it last longer because mm-hmm. you're beating yourself up for something you can't help.
Yeah. And because I've never gone to a therapist, no one told me that. But okay. So I had woken up at like 5 a.m. because Forrest had slept through the night,
mm-hmm.
but he woke up at 5 a.m. and I was like, I feel rested. I'm going to get up. I'm going to stay up.
Yeah.
I got dressed. Now, that doesn't sound like a big thing, but for a stay-at-home mom
of a newborn and two under two. Yeah.
Sweatpants is my uniform.
Yes.
And I'm not doing my makeup.
Yep.
Because
for who?
Ollie can climb into the bathtub.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he climbs on top of the bathtub and tries to climb into the sink.
Oh my God.
He tries to grab my makeup. Like I have a little brush that I hand him
mm-hmm.
and he will fake put makeup on. But like he's grabbing at things. He's about to fall because he's very uncoordinated.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not going to add that stress because for who?
Yeah, right.
Okay. And I'm also not putting clothes on because I don't have time and I don't care.
Yeah. And it's probably going to get puked on.
Exactly. How long am I actually going to wear this for because it's going to get puked on?
Yep.
And I'm not doing my hair. It's going in a ponytail because babies pull your hair and it gets in the way of everything. And so there's nothing wrong with not getting dressed and not doing your hair and not doing your makeup. Mm-hmm. But when you're someone who is inside all day and like it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's nice just to be like, sometimes I like to just remind myself. I'm like, of what I'm capable of.
Yeah. Right.
Plus, like we said in the earlier one, I don't know if you guys listened to our one before, but just simply doing your hair and your makeup can be a creative outlet.
Yes.
It can make you feel like, oh, like, you know.
And confidence can give you a little dopamine boost. Yes. So I put on clothes. Mm-hmm. Didn't do my hair. Didn't do my makeup.
It's fine. Just even put on clothes. Picking an outfit out can give you like, you know.
And I felt cute. Yeah. Because like I mentioned in the last one, that was the day I'm pretty sure that I looked at my body and it went from like, God damn, I wish you would be different to like,
oh girl, you're not bad.
You're all right.
Yeah.
You're looking kind of cute.
Right.
And so I put my outfit on and I felt like, dang.
Yeah.
I am doable.
Fuck you.
I think I'm going to get laid tonight. So I put this on. I feel cute. I do the dishes. I get breakfast ready.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything, like, before the kids wake up, I have just, like, accomplished so much. I'm feeling great. And then things start to go south because the kids aren't sleeping at the same time and I'm feeling guilty about how much screen time I'm letting Ollie have. And I'm feeling like he's behind in speech and I'm feeling like which he's not, but this is just an insecurity of mine.
Yes.
I'm feeling like he's not eating as much as he should be. And so I'm just going down these rabbit holes, but I look cute.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm holding on the entire day
to that,
to the fact that I look cute.
Yeah.
Because it's all I had. Everything else felt like an absolute goddamn mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shane tells me he's on his way home. He's going to stop and pick something up so we can have dinner. And I'm feeding Forrest at the time. I'm even Marco Poloing him like, take your time, babe. I got it. Everything's under control.
Yeah.
The second he walks in the door, Forrest throws up on me. Now, if we remember, the only thing that was keeping me above water
was
the fact that I felt cute in that outfit.
Yeah.
And now I have to change my clothes.
Oh, no.
And it sounds so stupid.
No, but it was making you
that
go.
That was it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I felt so cute that I thought he would tell me that I looked cute when he got home. And so the fact that I had to change my clothes because I got puked on and now I didn't think that I was going to get told that I looked cute and I no longer felt cute, I lost it. Because it was like the weight of everything else that I had been pushing off all day was like, hey, baby, we're here. Yep. And now you got nothing to block us.
Yep.
And
it's like the floodgates are open, literally.
Yes. And I lost it.
Aww.
And I even told Shane, I was like, I did my whole aggressive cute thing where I'm like, I'm frustrated. Today was a very hard day. I need to get out of the house. I'm trying not to be aggressive towards you.
This isn't your fault.
Yes, but I have to get
feeling
out.
These things and I need and to I feel them.
And I didn't know it was the outfit thing.
Yes.
But once
at that
I
point,
had,
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. But because Shane took my aggressive tone as, oh my God, I just came home from work.
Now you're mad.
I didn't even do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help, but you won't even let me help. You're flying off the handles, which I get. I get why he felt that. But I needed him to be his uncle. Like I said in the last podcast, I wanted him to tell me it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, calm the storm a little bit.
Yeah, and I told him that after the fact.
Yes.
I had to have an absolute fucking meltdown first.
And you do. Sometimes you do. You just have to.
I was we put the kids to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horrible. And I was going to sleep in the basement. And I set an alarm for like 4 a.m. because that's about the time that Forrest would get up. That way I would be able to get upstairs.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I'm sleeping in the basement because we have a bedroom down here. Yeah. I was like, I'm sleeping in the basement. You can sleep upstairs. And he's like, I already have the couch made up. And I'm like, oh, do you? Well, no one's sleeping in our bed then. You can sleep on the couch. And I'm sleeping
and
in the basement.
I'm still sleeping in the basement.
And like, as all of this was happening, I'm like, this is not us at all. This is like to the point where I remember standing at the top of the steps. He was in the kitchen. We looked at each other and we almost laughed.
Oh, I've done that.
We almost laughed at each other because we were being absolutely ridiculous. But I was like, don't you laugh, Jerry. You are not done being mad about your shirt.
Me and Corey have done that mid-fight where we're like, are we both going to laugh? No, I'm still pissed.
I'm not done fighting. Part of me thinks that's because we come from toxic relationships where we're like, I haven't had this in a long time, and this is
I really
fun.
Need this. It's giving me adrenaline boost that I haven't had in a while.
But I realize how stupid it is.
And it is a little toxic.
So I came down here, and he came down. It was almost like whenever we escaped each other, we would come and ask a stupid, unimportant question just to be in each other's presence again.
So much. So Corey does that. Listen, I love my boyfriend, but he'll like, we'll fight. And then he's like, I'm fucking leaving. And then he'll come up and be like, you done being mad?
While I'm gone, I'm going to get Derek. Wait, do you want anything?
Do you want an ice cream cone? Twist? I'm like, don't talk to me. I can hold a
but
grudge.
Also,
he cannot.
Yes.
He'll come up behind me. This is my favorite. And he'll just like put his head on my back. Not arms around me, but just head on my back where he's like, are we done? And then no words need to be spoken. I'm like, yeah, we were both fucking.
Well, that's how I felt because Shane came down the steps and he was like, do I need to call off work tomorrow because I need to take care of the kids. And I was like, you know what? I'm sleeping upstairs. Like, I was down here for 2 seconds. I was like, no, you don't need to take off. What am I, an absent mother? Of course not. I had an alarm set.
And I'm fine.
Yeah. And so then I went upstairs and like, now he's on the couch and I'm in the bedroom. And so I can't go out.
No.
I have committed to the bedroom.
You've established dominance in the bedroom.
And so now I have to text him.
Oh, no. You're like, what, are we still fucking mad or what?
No, I was like, just so you know.
Oh, you still were angry texting.
Oh, yeah. And it was like stirring.
Yeah.
It was like.
Because you want it to reach the point where somebody has to apologize and that someone's not going to be you.
And I didn't even want an apology. I wanted help.
Yeah.
And because I don't know how to ask for help.
You have to
get. I tell you that I hate you.
Yeah. And until like, you're like, what's up? Is this a cry for help, girl?
Yes. That, yeah. And like, I knew that's what it was.
But you
I
couldn't
knew.
Admit to it because here's then a, that was admitting that you
and
needed
this
help.
This is why I am airing out a piece of our dirty laundry right now. Because we've come to a resolution and I feel that was like a not normal thing.
Yeah.
That was me reaching a peak anxiety and I took it out on him and I should not have.
Yeah.
And he honestly was a goddamn saint throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
But what I realized in it is I had an anxiety attack and it started out as anger.
Yes.
And ended in what felt like an out of body experience.
Yep.
And I was laying down.
Dissociating a little bit.
And I felt like I was floating.
Mm-hmm.
I did an edible one time. And well, my roommate came home from her work party, which they just had them there.
What? Where does she work?
At a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So she came home and she's like, do you want to split this brownie with me? And I was like, oh, I've never done that before. And she was like, it's not a big deal. And I was like, okay.
I've
it tasted like it had hair in it.
Yeah. They different. Yeah.
Or it could have been hair. I don't know. But anyway, I ate this brownie. And I hung out and I was like, I don't think anything's happening. And she's like, yeah, I guess not. And
it
I was
takes
like,
a while.
Well, I learned that when I woke up in the middle of the night and thought I was floating above myself.
Yes. Okay? Oh, no, you went to sleep.
I did. I didn't know. I had never done it before. And I haven't done it since because that scared me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm floating above my own body. And I
like,
felt
what
that
was in what Shane made for dinner.
But I felt that when I was having my panic attack.
Dissociation, I tell you.
And I kept thinking, I need an anchor. Mm-hmm. I need an anchor. I need something to pull me to the ground right now. And if he were in bed with me, then he could have been that. But he wasn't in bed with me. But I didn't know how to get him to get in bed with me without saying it.
Having to be the one to cave.
Yes. So I got in the bathtub.
Okay. That's my go-to, too. When I'm dissociating, I'm not kidding. I go to the bathtub.
Yes. And it was empty.
Yes.
I was wearing like a shirt and no pants.
Oh, what? You were just, I've actually done that, but.
Did you have water in yours?
Yeah.
No, no water.
At my lowest point, I've gotten into the bathtub fully closed while I was dissociating. That was insane.
No water because I felt like I would float in the water.
Oh, okay.
So I needed, and I kind of wrote this in my Instagram post, in my Facebook post. I don't know what it was, but I needed to feel uncomfortable for my body to feel like it was my body.
Yeah.
That sounds weird, but no, like
here's the thing. I'm gonna tell something that I've.
Yeah.
Well, we're being vulnerable, so it's fine. I used to self harm, and that was a thing for me. It was when I explained it to my therapist, and I would always do it in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. Always. Also, easy cleanup. That was my first thought. Seriously, it was never to try. Like, I mean. I wasn't doing it to the point of it wasn't for attention. It was on a spot where nobody could see. And it definitely wasn't. I wasn't trying to like end my life. But at that moment, I was dissociating so hard that I needed to feel something to bring me back down. Yeah. Seriously. And when I tell people that, I think they get it a little bit more. They're like, oh, I mean, I guess I don't understand. But that pain is like a shock to my system.
Back to reality.
Yeah. Oops, there goes gravity. No, babe, that's a vulnerable thing that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important because I'm not advocating that. So don't do that. That was a very unhealthy way to do it. But in my most like my insane anxiety attacks where I would dissociate so hard that I felt like I wasn't alive anymore.
Yeah.
For real. I would feel like I had. This is how crazy I would be in my own head. In that moment, I would feel like I had died and that I was still just like.
Around
wandering around, it was weird. So I had to like,
I literally fucking thought wake you were just my up. Dog under this blanket.
It's my toe.
I know that it moved in such a way that it didn't look like it was a part of your body, and I was like, anyway, sorry.
But that's so I understand what you're saying that you needed to like ground yourself.
Yes, and I kept thinking of it as an anchor.
Yeah,
and like feeling the cold bathtub and how it was really hard and it was like. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think that helps.
It helped me. Yeah. And then like Shane came in and he found me in there and he was like, what are you doing? And I was just crying in the bathtub and I was like, I'm trying to feel like I'm not floating.
Yeah.
I'm trying to ground myself. I'm trying to get to a place where I can stop being hurtful and hateful towards you so I can actually explain what I'm feeling and we can move past this.
But I need help.
Yes. And so I told him that and I said, can I just speak without you saying anything? Mm-hmm. And so he just sat on the floor in the bathroom while I sat in the bathtub and told him everything. And then
that's good.
We went back to bed and same place.
Yeah.
And I was still floating. And so I got on the floor.
Yeah.
And I stayed on the floor for a while. But like it was,
you were literally grounding yourself.
I had to.
Was that the night that I was texting you and I was like, find five things or whatever? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I do a lot is when I have never floated like that, but
dissociating is really scary. It's really scary because nothing feels real. And when I would do it, it would feel like I was dreaming. Uh-huh. Do you know how your body feels when you're dreaming? So you feel like
I felt like I was gonna have a sleep paralysis episode.
Yes.
But I was awake.
Yes.
It wasn't like I was waking up.
Yeah.
It was I was awake going into one. Mm-hmm. And it was like horrific.
So your mind is like you're like floating, but you feel like I would just sit there like this. So I'm not it is very fucking scary. One of the more scary mental health things that I've had to deal with.
It's so weird saying these things and you being like, Jerry. You got mental health issues.
No,
because like I never considered it. Yeah. I'm just like, I sometimes float above my own body. And you're like, yo.
Hey, that's one of the more serious ones.
So I don't know if you know this, but that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not fucked up. It is pretty normal, actually. Not normal, but yeah. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. Yeah. Yeah.
But that, like, something that I've tried to do is create anchors in my head, yeah. But I was too far gone that I couldn't think of things that ground me
mm-hmm.
mentally because my body was like, we light as a feather, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get you to do the, I can't remember now, but I think it was.
It's 5 things you see, 4 things you hear, 3 things
you can touch, 2 things you can smell.
Oh, maybe it's 4 things you can smell. Or is it 4 things you can hear?
I don't think it really. I don't think it.
Just find 5.
You got to find those 5 senses and you go down. You use your senses basically. And when you're doing that, you can like snap yourself back into it.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting.
Yes. One thing you taste. Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to get you to do.
My crusty ass teeth because I forgot to brush them.
Dude, fucking. We're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. My salty skin, because who bathes? Not this bitch.
Those are my tears.
But taste, I wanted my tears.
But I wanted to talk about that story just because I feel like remember? Do you remember when we did imposter syndrome and I made us redo it because I felt like a phony?
Yeah.
I felt like a phony in that first half. Not like totally phony because I was like talking about it.
Just like you haven't given it your all.
But knowing that I had that bad of an anxiety attack just recently and I
didn't
mention it at all.
I'm good.
Yeah. It felt like not.
This is what you need to do in therapy.
Yeah.
You'd be able to.
I'm sure.
Especially because you're doing it right now and there's a lot of people that are going to listen.
Yeah, but I can't see any of them.
That's true. Well, turn around. I literally one time.
No. Someone behind me.
I mean, in therapy. I one time legit.
There's a therapist behind me right now. This is Maury. He called her without my voice.
You try to run. She fucking catches you. I've done that before. I turn around on the couch of my therapist and I'm like, I just can't look at you right now, but I'm going to tell you something that's very vulnerable for me because I feel like if I looked at her and she never did, but I always felt like she would look at me like, this fucking crazy bitch. Yeah. Especially when I talked about the more vulnerable things like self-harm. I have told people and I've had boyfriends that have walked in on it and their reaction to it, I understand and it's justified for them. But it made me feel like I'm the craziest bitch in the world.
This is weird, huh?
Right. Like, this isn't normal that people are doing. And I'm just like, what's up? Yeah. Oh, you don't do that? That's fine. And again, I know it's not normal because I do it in places that people can't see. Right. I know. But I'm just.
Did it. You don't do it anymore, correct?
No. Yeah, it's been.
I was going to say, girl.
Last time was like over a year ago. Okay. So. I'm just realizing that, like, family members of mine listen. But, hey, you know, again, I'm not doing it for attention. And right now I'm not telling people for attention. Literally, right. I want to be vulnerable. My whole life goal is that whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, I hope eventually it helps somebody in some way.
Your transparency. If my
transparency, my vulnerability, my openness to things that people are like, Sierra, you shouldn't be that open about. If it helps one person realize that maybe they need to go get help or that they're not alone or that
and that they can get out of it.
Yeah. That they're not crazy, that this isn't like an end game type of thing for them. Mm-hmm. That they can
they're not broken.
Yes. Then freaking it's worth it. So yeah.
But
when I have to tell my therapist, I'm assuming she's going to give that reaction that past boyfriends have given me.
That's why I can't be a therapist, because my face says everything before my mouth does.
I think they work on that, though. They have to.
Do you think there's a class? I had a class when I was in college about how to write on a whiteboard.
For sure. There's got to be a class and where they're just like, control your fucking face.
101.
And you're just like. No, but sometimes my therapist, this is why I liked her, because I talked in the last one about you got to find a therapist that like works with you. You got to find one that like meets your,
yeah,
what you need. And I know people who are like, my therapist didn't really say much and just nodded or like whatever. My therapist would tear up with me when I would cry. She would hand me tissues. She would sometimes like reach out to me. Yeah. And I don't think she ever touched me, but she would like touch the seat beside me when she was talking. So that it was like a very motherly like thing. And she, I think that's why I connected with her so much, because she was being empathetic.
Sound great.
She's so nice.
Go.
Everybody needs to go to therapy. But like I said, it took me like 7 therapists to find her.
Yeah.
And every other one I was like, fucking cannot with this.
Yeah.
My first one really tried to, there's also like faith-based and not faith-based.
And you're like, miss me with that faith-based.
I'm like, please don't. And my first one was faith-based, so I thought that they all were. And at that moment, that is not what I needed.
Yeah.
I guess some people do, and I'm totally do your thing. But like for me, it was not my thing. So the fact that I felt like she was kind of like shoving that down my throat in the moment where I was being really vulnerable about stuff, I was like, not what I need.
Yeah.
So thank you. But no, thank you.
So we started this because we had a couple more questions.
Yeah, and we forgot about them. Sorry.
Okay. So as an well, I guess it's one question, but it was two things. So, okay.
Oh.
As an empath, if you guys don't know what an empath is, it's a person who like takes on the feelings of other people, who like feels feelings.
Yeah. Are you an empath?
That other people are feeling. Me?
Yeah.
I think so.
Me too. I think that's why we
self-diagnosed empath.
Yes, me too. I think that's why I know a lot of people get like in abusive relationships. If they're the abused, a lot of times they're empaths, because empaths tend to try to be fixers, I feel.
Oh, for sure. I think that's why I think Shane's an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh yeah, you both are for sure.
But and we're both fixers, and we worked out great.
Yes.
We're like, you're broken, me too. Let's fix each other. As an empath who struggles with anxiety, I'm a peach at parties.
Yeah, no, freaking I feel that.
How do you deflect the emotions to cope with your own anxiety?
Oh my God, you're asking we don't go anywhere for that reason. We use comedy, right?
Yeah.
We really do. I feel like our deflection tactic is comedy.
And the other thing is, I don't know why this is. I don't know if it's because I'm an older sibling. I don't know if it's because of my athletic background. I tend to, if there is someone else who is in need or is having a lot of emotions, mine are gone.
Yeah, you gotta play mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way. That's why I feel like if I do anything in life, I'm like, I feel like I would be like a great therapist role, because I feel like I could take on that. But at the same time, that's when all mine would go away, I feel like. Because instantly all of mine melt away as soon as I feel like I'm helping other people.
Yeah. It's funny because like I know you not on the podcast.
Yeah.
So like when we talk about mental health stuff, it's like what we're experiencing, or like I said earlier in the first episode, the first part of this is that like you don't have to say anything and I can just like tell.
Yeah, she's texted me before and been like, hey, I can tell that you're depressed again.
Yeah,
it's like, been like this for a while. And I was like, wow, I didn't even want to say anything, but you're so right.
But like when you're on the podcast, you take on this role.
I do.
Of like educator.
Yeah.
And caretaker.
Oh my
and
God, thank you.
Like,
because that's how
really,
I feel.
You really, it's not that you're putting on a persona. It's just like, I have this information and I know that it helps. I know that it works. I want to help other people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I feel like you put your stuff on pause.
Yeah.
And it almost gives you like a little boost.
Yeah. I've had people reach out to me when they listen to the podcast and they're like, you're not depressed. Like, I've heard you.
Yeah.
You don't sound like it at all, what I would think stereotypically. And right. So I've thought about it before. I'm like, I should have an episode one time where I'm just completely like, so raw.
Raw dogging it.
Yeah. I want a raw dog. And like, you know, really get.
Yeah.
And every time the mic is in front of me, though, I feel like a switch flips. And yeah. I'm in the role. We both have said that we're kind of like, we feel like we have to be entertainers sometimes. Yeah. Or like, we just feel very, I have to take on the role of like, I don't know, helper. I feel like I have to help or fix. And even though these people that I'm speaking to aren't directly in front of me, the person that I'm thinking is like young Sierra, who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And I want to help her.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, girl, I'm here for you.
Part of the problem with that, though, is it expels a lot of energy.
Yes. And then I feel like I'm, not taking care of myself.
Because it can be fulfilling. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing something like this where we're not seeing any, like, not reward, but we're not seeing any instant like reaction or response to it,
for sure. Well, remember how the first couple episodes people were reaching out to us, but like specifically to me, not, I mean, they were to you too, but they already knew how you were.
Yeah.
And so people were kind of shocked. They were like, whoa, I didn't know Sierra was like that. Like, good for her, I'm so proud of her. And I was like, boost, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
Which is, we knew it was going to happen. I can't have people gas me up for 2 years or whatever. I mean, it's been a year, but you know, it's not going to go longer than.
Well, I think people are like, they get it. We enjoy it. And we don't have to tell them every single episode.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we still have people who like send things here or there, like funny stuff that they hear. But
they're
not
going to be like, wow, Sierra, you surprised me. Because obviously I'm done surprising. I've been doing this for a year. But once it stopped, I was like, oh, I suck. I mean, I know I don't, but that was what my brain did to me. And it was just, oh my God, brains are so weird. They're so weird.
See, like, whenever I do a shoot, I will leave most of the time feeling like I'm on a high.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, that was the best. Yeah. And it's because I'm interacting with those people. Mm-hmm. And I knew that they had a great time. I showed them the back of the camera and they loved the photos. And so I'm leaving there like full.
Look at what I did for them.
And there's times where then I'll deliver the gallery and I hear like nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh,
so not good. I thought we had such a great time. And I think that's part of like being an empath is that like, you want to help others and you feel so deeply for others. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like you're helping them, because if you see their mood boost, it boosts your mood.
For sure.
Because a feeling's a feeling, whether it's bad or it's good.
Yeah.
And that's part of why it's hard to do, to be an empath.
Yeah.
Is like, because if I'm doing things and I'm not seeing your reaction, or I'm not hearing helping your reaction,
you. Or you,
I feel
like I'm not helping you.
I feel like I'm failing, or I feel like.
And then what a big fat dumb idiot I am.
There's space between what you're thinking and what I think you're thinking, and when I don't know what that is, I'm gonna fill it with assumptions.
Yeah,
and they're never gonna be good.
Yes.
And also, the longer we go without speaking, the bigger that space gets.
Also, as somebody who has social anxiety, on the flip side, I'm the person that's like, oh, I don't want to say too much to them. They'll think I'm a freaking weirdo. So I don't say things to people. Like, I don't want to be like, oh my God, you're freaking amazing. Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
If I know them, but if I'm not like that close with them, I feel like I don't say anything that I wish that I would. And then I'm like, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, I was that person to somebody.
I know.
I should have told them more.
I overthink it too, because people, I had people reach out to me like when I fell and was in the hospital and we were scared I was going to go into preterm labor. Mm-hmm. I had people talking to me the entire day.
Yep.
Saying like, I'm here for you. I'll keep you company, checking in. And I don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm annoying, or
literally
that
when
people
you were
don't
just saying that, I was like, was I one of those people? Because I don't fucking think I was, and what a shitty friend I am. That's what was
you
going
were
through my,
because I, you had my kid, so you were
I?
Like,
well, that's
what's going
because
on?
I had.
But yeah, I feel like weird about like, oh, I'm texting you too much. You probably want to rest. You probably don't want to talk to me. And then I feel bad because I'm like, oh, now they think I don't care, but I do care.
Yes.
And I don't know how to tell them I care. Yeah. And if someone asks, oh my God, if someone asks me what I did during the weekend and I tell them and then I don't ask them back, I will think about it.
Me too.
For months.
But I never ask people. Feel like I never do. I'll just be like, I'm good, or I did this.
Yeah,
and then
hey,
I'll
how
leave.
Are you good? And then I'm like, oh my God,
I
don't
fucking
know how they
say
are.
Anything back to them. What a piece of shit I am that I didn't
They're
ask
gonna think
them.
That I didn't care how they were. I do care how you are. I just thought you were gonna tell me.
Yes, I assume that because that's what I would do.
Yeah.
What was the question?
The question is,
did we answer it at all?
I don't know. How do you deflect the emotions to cope with your own anxiety? I guess we just put it on the back burner in the moment and then deal with it. But like the dangerous part of doing that is
getting too overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take care of yourself too.
That was something that Shane said to me because I said that I hadn't eaten and that I was tired and I was mm-hmm. this, and he's like, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yes. You have to, you can't give all of yourself to someone else. Right. I've done that in relationships and you're going to meet people that'll take advantage of that. So you can't.
I heard that and was offended. I was like, boy, I'm a bottomless well. I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
This cup always full. And he's like, no.
When was the last time you showered? And then you're like, oh shit. Well,
I didn't shower before, and we all freaking know that. So
it doesn't matter. Nobody needs to shower. That's a myth.
One other thing that I wanted to talk about was how I think it's important to view your mind like a garden.
Okay.
Have I ever talked about that with you?
Mind garden? No.
I think I'd remember a mind garden. So, okay. When I'm having anxiety or I'm feeling overwhelmed with emotion, I'm a very visual person.
Okay.
I try to picture my mind like it's a garden and it's overcome with weeds.
Okay.
And so in order for it not to get overcome with weeds, I have to do check-ins. I have to journal in all my 60 million journals. I have to write a poem or a song. I have to check out and watch YouTube, or I have to create. Like there are things that I have to do in order to weed the garden.
Right.
But what you were talking about in the first episode, where you were saying that you had these negative thoughts, the negative voice was saying these things, and you had to go and like rewire it to say positive things.
Yeah.
To me, that's weeding the garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, your mind garden was overrun with all of these negative thoughts.
And Farmer
about yourself.
Seabass, she came in with her hoe, or however you weed shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to go through and, you know, go through all of that and take it all out, and then you can start replanting healthy thoughts and healthy habits.
You got to get the weeds out first before you can start the healthy thoughts, though, or else they won't grow.
No, they won't grow. They'll be overcome by the weeds.
And that takes time.
Yes.
Which I don't think a lot of people think about. And here's the thing that
I'm a very visual person, and I love an analogy. Yes. And like that's when I think of it, like, oh, I'm just weeding my mind garden and not like I have a mental health disorder that causes me.
It's less taboo, number one.
Yeah.
So you don't feel as like crazy. My therapist says we don't use that word.
I don't know. The more I say weeding my mind garden, I definitely
sounds
feel crazy. But
yeah, but it's nice to be able to. That's why when she would tell me about it, she would she's like, we're just rewiring it.
Yeah.
You have been programmed this way. We need to pull all those out and stick them into different plugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stick it in a different hole.
Yes. Because it takes time. And it's like, okay, this is kind of how she explained it to me. If you're driving through a certain, like in a yard, you're going to get tire tracks and mud.
Yeah.
Right? And the more that you go over that same path, the deeper those tracks are going to get. So if they're going down a deep road and you reverse it, those tracks are still going to be there.
Yeah.
But over time, you will develop new tracks in a better way.
So it doesn't happen overnight.
You got to build like a highway over the tracks.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's smoother and faster.
And then you plant your garden beside the highway.
Yes.
And it's all like a little friggin' city in your It's really beautiful.
Well, when I was at church one time, he did I don't know if it was a whole series, but there was definitely a message he called Mind Monsters. Mm. And he talked about how he explained your brain to be like a mailbox.
Oh.
And thoughts like mail.
Mm-hmm.
And he was encouraging people to train their brains not to open certain things.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like, that's where did this thought come from?
Yeah. If I don't open that, I don't have to pay it.
That's how that works.
I'm an adult.
But that's what he was explaining. Yeah. Is like, if this letter, if this piece of mail didn't, if this thought didn't come from a positive place, mm-hmm. didn't come from a productive place, didn't come from a healthy place, return to sender.
Yep.
Don't open it.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, like, basically, you just need to build some highways
and gardens and mailboxes.
Mailboxes.
Build a city in your mind and let us know how it goes.
Live there.
Yeah. Rent free.
Yeah.
Don't open any bills. There's no reason. There's nothing but bad news.
You know, I want to do an episode about why The Sims ruined my life.
Fuck yeah.
So sometime. I don't know if that's just a us thing, but I was on TikTok and I saw someone doing Sim impressions and I was like, Ripza Nuba.
Farvel Viva Noo.
Woohoo. Unker flap. So, if you guys are interested, I have a lot of feelings about The Sims.
Me too. We could have a whole hour long episode about The Sims. I love The Sims.
So, I guess there was just one question, but I had seen two things pop up. So I was like, oh, that's two things we have to talk. But I also did want to mention some of the other things that we mentioned just because I felt like
we didn't get.
It was a more well-rounded, vulnerable, deeper.
Yeah.
Conversation, because I don't ever want it to come across like we have our shit together or we know what we're doing or that we have actual answers. We want this is us being girlfriends.
Yeah. And truly, 90% of what I'm teaching, what I've learned, has been through mistakes that I've made and that I have to learn from,
and
or
I'm just making it up
from my therapist. Yeah. So you guys pay
Sierra has like a little bit of like therapy background, and I am just utilizing my biggest BSR YouTube. Award. and YouTube.
Hey, yeah. YouTube, those people, sometimes I feel like they go to therapy because they know what they're sometimes
a lot of
things
do.
And I'm like, bitch, you got that from therapy because I heard that same line.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so okay, thanks for hanging out for what almost turned out to be another hour.
Shit. Well, you're welcome, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think this is all a rough time for everyone, so.
We needed a little mental health check-in for everybody, because use this time to check in with yourself. Because
we've been using humor to deflect for the last 3 weeks.
That's exactly what we've been doing, and I noticed that I was laughing so hard I cried when I listened, and then I was also like, oh, we have been hardcore deflecting.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get real again. But don't worry, we'll get silly soon.
Yep.
But we have to get real for a little bit.
You know, with The Sims.
Yes.
Dabadoogia.
God damn it, you're good at that shit.
Thanks. I played it entirely too much.
Bartleby Noob.
We're out.
Goodbye.